I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to...
Tell Us a Good Story.
This episode is being presented to you by Storyside Church, where your story matters. At Storyside Church, they believe God always writes a good story.
You can join them for church online each Sunday morning on their Facebook page or watch their entire library of prior services on their YouTube channel, Storyside Church.
All right, Steph.
It's here.
Welcome to episode 190.
Oh, and I'm so excited for this.
And today, we're with our friend in person,
Dr. John Stauffer.
My old college roommate at Ohio Northern University, or what I like to call the Harvard of the Midwest.
Of course.
Dr. John Stauffer.
Oh, we're all right. So excited.
Fantastic.
Okay, so John, you're actually episode 15 of Tell Us a Good Story.
I remember.
One of the first guests.
Were you really?
And I think John was kind of doing a favor to us.
He was.
Right? We had just started Tell Us a Good Story 3.5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think you knew what you were signing up for.
No idea.
No clue. I remember you jumped on the call and you're like, okay, how long is this going to take?
Like, can I have dinner?
I just put something in the oven.
Kind of hungry.
And then I think we talked for at least a half hour. At least a half hour.
Minimum.
With you.
At least. Yeah, I think it was. I was a little nervous, not going to lie.
Jumping on the call?
Yeah. I didn't know what it was going to be. No idea. I thought you were going to make fun of me about soccer for about 30 minutes or something like that.
That's a good assumption.
Yeah.
So are you surprised we're still doing this?
Not a bit.
You're not?
No. This is like normal for you guys, just to sit around and tell stories and laugh. So you're just doing like your normal thing, I think, doing this. So it's awesome. Aww. To see.
Of course, you're a surgeon at the Mayo Clinic. Can you tell Steph how patients actually come into you and they've listened to the episode, right? Like they're asking you questions about talking to us, I believe, right?
That's true. They Google their surgeon, which makes sense. This pops up as one of the top things on Google, and they'll listen to it.
The episode that you
were on? Episode 15 pops up, and they listen to it, and they love the stories about the farm, and my friend who's afraid of the cows, and my sister. So I get a lot of references to that story.
That's funny.
Okay, I have to say, honestly, listening to that podcast about you, John, I would definitely in a heartbeat have you be my surgeon.
Yes.
But if you're like in a foreign country, you're like, okay, I'm just going to work with what I have. Like that hands down makes you sound so legit and cool, and that you can just do MacGyver anything that people throw at you. Like I would be your patient.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%, I'd be referring a friend's family member to this guy.
For sure.
Okay, so you've been down there how long? 18 years?
18 years.
No, you haven't. It's been 18 years?
Yep, moved from Ohio 18 years ago.
Holy
After
cow.
Med school at Ohio State. And probably for 15 years, you've been asking me to come visit you down in Jacksonville.
I've been waiting. Kev, come on down.
Right, and so Steph finally let me come visit
That's
you.
That's exactly what it was.
Last weekend. And so for the first time, flew down to Jacksonville. And John, you have so many activities planned for me. And it was funny because your wife's like, I'm so thankful you're here because John has somebody to play with now.
That's so true. She thinks I have way too much energy. My kids are, you know, moved out. She can't keep up. And I have all this fun stuff to do and no one to do with. So it's great.
So I haven't told Steph hardly anything
I know
from the trip.
Nothing about this trip.
So folks, I left Friday afternoon last weekend. Got down to Jacksonville 5:30 on Friday night and then left first thing Monday morning. So I was with John almost 2.5 days. And John had all these activities planned for me. And it took a lot of caffeine to try to keep up with you, John. As you know, I mean, I'm chugging like Celsius drinks and all, you know, coffees. I'm like, oh my gosh, dude. Holy cow, you're like a teenager here. Just, okay, now what do you want to do? Do you want to go on my boat? Do you want to go throw a football? You want to jump in my pool? What do you want to do? I'm
like, we did it all.
Oh, my God. We did. Now, typically, and again, this is rare, because when I get back from a guy's trip, I need to inform this woman of all the details, because she's been battling with three little kids all weekend. And so when we've gone on like high state trips, I know I've got to download Steph with all of the details.
In detail. Do not leave anything
like,
out.
You got there. You got off the plane.
Yes.
Then what happened?
What did you eat?
All right. And then you woke up Saturday morning, yes. You open your eyeballs, then what
you happened? Do? Did you brush your teeth first? What happened?
Like, I have to go through massive detail for Steph to feel like she was there included.
Yes.
And so you've been really good this week, Steph, about not asking me questions about this.
Thank you for acknowledging that.
So you're really anxious to hear some of these stories. John, jump in at any time here.
Okay.
So down in Jacksonville, John picks me up in this massive truck, Ford F-250, right? Which, with a lift.
That surprises me. I was like, wait, he has a Ford F-250? Like,
you did ask me that.
He still brings out he sells the country boy in him. Get in the truck.
You can't take the boy out of the country.
I got to do a box jump just to get in your truck, John.
It is a little bit ridiculous.
Like,
but it's very Southern. This is what you do in the South.
Wait,
a big
really?
Truck like
big, big truck lifted up high.
Even for a surgeon, are you the only surgeon that has a Ford F-250?
Oh, that's a good point. Because you're probably taking up two parking
that's
spots at the Mayo
garage.
Clinic.
Yeah, I have to park in between the Teslas and the BMWs. I mean, so I do stand out in the parking garage. You're right.
Wait, how many parking spaces does it take for your truck to pull in?
I can pull it in one. I just got to fold the mirrors in. And sometimes I have to shimmy out.
So he picks me up, and immediately he's like, okay, you want to go shoot? Let's go shoot. He's like, yes, let's go shoot some guns.
Uh-huh.
So he's got a bunch of stuff like hidden in his back seat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what's back there. All right. So he has a farm, probably an hour away, I would
say? Yeah, about 45 minutes out.
Okay. You've got 10 acres. You and your wife have 10 acres. And then your mother-in-law has another 40, I believe.
Correct.
So 50 acres out here in Florida. And just beautiful.
Wait, like, is it like the country here in Ohio, or do you, besides the humidity in Florida, do you feel like you're back in Ohio when you're out on these lands?
It's quiet.
It's quiet. It's out in the country. The trees are different. They're mostly pines and oaks.
Okay.
So it's not the same. It's more swampy.
Yeah, you're not farming there.
Yeah, but it's similar. It's pretty similar.
Okay. I've been holding this question, but I can't anymore because you just said the word. Do you see pythons there?
Unfortunately, no. There's
no
pipe. No, that's South Florida. What we see,
they're migrating up, John.
They are. They're coming.
I'm watching the python routes. They're moving north.
The rattlesnakes and the water moccasins keep them out, though. There are rattlesnakes on that farm. I didn't tell Kevin this because I was a little bit worried he wouldn't come out there and shoot with me.
I've been shooting
at
the ground.
But I've seen plenty of rattlesnakes. We've killed a few out there. They are big, too.
Really?
Big rattlesnakes, yep.
Now, the rattlesnakes, though, you can kind of hear them coming. What about the water moccasins? Are you just constantly, like, looking?
I always look when I walk on that farm. I'm always looking. So that's why I had Kevin follow me almost everywhere because I was looking for snakes.
Now, are you wearing boots or do you ever wear flip-flops?
Oh, no, don't do that.
No flip-flops.
No, just boots.
Yeah, mostly boots when I'm out there.
Yeah, so you stomp on them if you have to.
Exactly.
Or run.
Or run. Get away. Shoot them from a distance, a safe distance.
Okay, Steph, we're on the way to this place. John gets a phone call from a colleague at, I don't know what hospital this was, Gets a phone call, and it's another surgeon.
Okay.
Puts this surgeon through the Bluetooth in his truck.
Mm-hmm.
And the nurse, apparently, is holding the phone for him. He starts asking Dr. John here, hey, I've got this guy open here on the table. I just pulled out the gallbladder, and I'm having a problem, connecting the DL to the HL to whatever. What are your thoughts? Am I making this up, John?
Not at all.
He literally calls John and is like, what am I supposed to do? I'm having a hard time. Like, he's got this dude open in front of him, doesn't know what to do. It's not like you're going to YouTube this.
Yeah.
Like, he's in the middle of surgery and he's calling John. I'm like, are you going to put him on FaceTime? What are you going to do? And you said you've done that before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I've FaceTimed into the OR before. Yeah, just to kind of guide the surgeon because, I've got a specialty. And then when people are on call, they do other things. And then sometimes they have to operate in my specialty. Mm-hmm. So they'll call me and I'll kind of help them through it. They know what they're doing, but just to double check.
So whoever this surgeon was, again, I don't know what hospital he's from, is calling John. And John's like, yeah, I don't know what to tell you, like without seeing it right now. I don't know what to tell you. And to me, he was very calm. The guy's talking like me trying to hang a ceiling fan, right?
Yes.
Like connecting different wires, like, okay, this is the hot one. This is, don't let these two wires touch. That's how he's talking to John.
Yeah.
And John's like, I don't know what to tell you. And the surgeon's like, okay, don't worry. I'll figure it out. And I'm like, what do you mean you'll figure it out? Like, there is an open body in front of you. What do you mean you'll figure it out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that normal, John? Where, like, not you, but other people are like, oh, I don't know what to do here. Like, who do I call? I mean, literally, it's like calling a lifeline. Calling you, hey, can you help me out here? How am I supposed to connect this?
Yeah. Yeah, though there was a lot of acronyms being flown around.
Yes.
I understand, so you couldn't really understand. But, yeah, I mean, there's different ways to connect things. So it's kind of like, you know best. You'll figure it out. You've seen this before.
That blew me away. Like, don't worry, I'll figure it out. Like, dude, you have an open body in front of you. You can't just, like, sew them back up and then tell the patient, hey, sorry, we're going to have to reschedule this. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that blew me away. I could not believe I was hearing this conversation.
But
live.
You know what? You kind of go back to when episode 15, when you would be in a foreign country and at one point you had, like, a bleeder and they could have bled out and you're just so calm, like, well, do you have this? No, we don't. You are just so calm talking. I think it's like a surgeon thing. Like,
you have to be
so even keeled during that surgery, or you know things could get crazy.
Yeah, I obviously would not be a good surgeon.
You would not.
Yeah, you gotta have plan A, plan B, plan C. Something will work.
Yeah, one of those.
All right, Steph, I'm going to test you again here. What is your favorite book of all time?
Obviously, it's the Bible, Kevin.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Very good. This time, you didn't say the book we wrote called You Met Her Where.
But it's still a really good book.
That is true.
And it would make a great gift for friends or relatives on their birthday or for Christmas.
Friends, you can order your copy of our book titled You Met Her Where at kevinandsteph.com. And we will make sure to personally sign a copy for you or whoever you want.
And as always, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
Okay, John, tell Steph how easy it is to impress me. Like, when I got there.
Yeah, that's true.
Can you share that with Steph?
Well, you know, I heard about your story in Colorado, and I could just see you getting off that plane and just seeing mountains for the first time, just being blown away. And I would just laugh at you. Just
we're
like all the other
selfies.
Like, oh, my gosh. Did anybody else see this besides me? Oh, yes. We were definitely tourists there.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah, it was not hard to impress you by a few things to see. the truck. What else? What was it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I gave him, like, soda, a pop, and he was so excited to get Coke Zero. It's like, Steph doesn't let me have this at home.
I knew he was going to blame it on me.
Like, you're the easiest person to host in the world. This is awesome.
Like, I only get this at kids' birthday parties. And not my kids' birthday parties.
When Paul and Michelle come over.
Yes.
He's like, oh, they brought me pop.
Yes. Or at your parents' house.
Yes.
Sometimes they have
they'll
pop
have
there.
Pizza for, nights. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was so excited. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I get to drink pop. And then John just shaking his head like, dude, if that's all it takes to impress you, just wait.
Poor guy doesn't get out much.
He's not. Well, at one point, he's like, Seth, like on Saturday, he's like, you won't believe there's something called this Celsius drinks. He's like, John gave me one. He's like, they're amazing.
These are really good. Like, really good. And you had said, like, you're not going to be able to sleep.
Yeah.
But I had no problem
kept
sleeping.
Kept you going.
Yeah. It helped me keep up with that guy.
But
yeah.
I know what you mean. I've been through when I had little kids, and you are just like, that's all you do in
your
life. And then it's like you're holed up there a little bit. And you get out. So it was good to see you out.
So, Steph, we get to this farm, and John starts pulling out the stuff, puts it in the bed of his truck. He's like, okay, get in the bed here. And then he sets, like, this tripod or something on top of his truck, puts this rifle on there. Then he's got this scope to the side. And, like, he's got all of these guns and ammunition and... It was a 308 or something? Is that right?
A 308.
A 308
rifle, yeah.
And I'm like, who are you, dude? Like, what have you turned into? I don't remember any of this. Like, you have your own militia in the back of this truck?
So I grew up, you know, Mennonite on a farm, not allowed to have a weapon, couldn't even have a BB gun. So now I've got time, and I'm trying to make up for lost time, I think.
So he pulls one of his guns out, 308 something, all right? This sucker is heavy. And it looks something like straight out of combat.
Okay.
Like, it looks like something they're using
It's a SWAT team rifle.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That makes sense. And he's like, you want to shoot this? I'm like, I do not. I want to watch you shoot it first because I'm concerned with the kick or whatever. Because I've gone out shooting a couple times, just a handful of times. And I'm like, no, I want to see you shoot it first. Okay. So we're on the back of his truck. He puts the SWAT team rifle on top of the tripod
The
cab. And he's got a scope to the left. He's like, okay, put your head on the scope. And I'm like, okay. So I'm literally right to the left in the bed of his truck. And we are, like, leaning on top of the cab.
Uh-huh.
And so he's like, okay, get ready here. I'm going to fire it on 3, 1, 2, and then bang and stuff. I knew it was coming, and it still scared me. Like, this powerful bang, it was so freaking loud. And we had I had headphones on, and it still surprised me. Like, I didn't jump out of the truck, but it was incredibly loud. Incredibly loud.
It is. It's a big kick. It's a big caliber.
Yes. So then he lets me shoot it, and he records me shooting it. And so I'm like, okay, here we go. And then as soon as I go to shoot it, I turn my head completely to it and just shoot it. Blindly.
Basically, close your eyes and turn your head.
And shoot. Hope I'm like, did I hit it? And he's like, no, you didn't hit anything at all. Steph, we cannot do this podcast all by ourselves. When we first started, we needed some major help and guidance with our technology issues, and we're extremely fortunate to have met Mr. Craig Clausen. That man has been an absolute godsend for us.
I freaking love Craig. Clausen Solutions Group is an information, technology, and media management company helping customers with their people, process, technology, and message. CSG helps organizations with their technology implementations, project and change management, and social media messaging.
I have no idea what you just said.
I honestly don't know either, but we both know Craig's amazing at it. So.
He's just really good at
his really
job.
He's really good at what he does.
Trust us, he's very good with technology. So if you have any technology issues, social media needs, just don't know where to start, give Clausen Solutions Group a call at 614-859-6328. They are a proud sponsor of
Tell Us a Good Story.
So we get ready to go hog hunting.
Okay. I'm ready for this. Yes. Hog hunting.
Hog hunting. Okay. And before we go hog hunting, he takes me. This was a weekend of first.
Okay.
John takes me to this gas station that we don't have here in Ohio.
Okay.
Called Buc-ee's. Have you ever seen one of these?
I've heard of Buc-ee's.
Again, John's laughing at me because me seeing Buc-ee's for the first time.
You walked in like it was Disneyland or something. Like, just a big gas station, Kevin. They have food. They have drinks. They might be selling Walmart clothes. But he was so excited about Buc-ee's. So funny to see.
Like, they have a wall of just beef jerky.
Okay.
And then, I can't believe how big this place is. It is like BP and Walmart had a baby together, and it was Buc-ee's. It is
Wait,
that big. So.
Did you buy a souvenir?
I did not. I did not. I didn't have my wallet on me.
That is why.
She got you the onesie.
The onesie of Buc-ee's. Yeah. That place was incredible. Absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. So, that was a first. So then, Dr. John here rents some property. How big is this land out? It's about a half hour outside of Jacksonville. How many acres is that?
It's 1,400 acres.
Okay. And you can rent a portion of the property, right? And then you can set up a tree stand wherever you want. Make sure you're away from other people.
Mm-hmm. So, John, do you rent it for the night? For the
No,
year?
It's like a year-long lease.
Okay.
We have like 7 or 8 of us doing a year-long lease in this like 1,400 acre plot.
So how big's your plot?
You can go anywhere,
right? Anywhere, yeah.
You can go anywhere within the 1,400 acres.
Oh, okay.
So you can walk anywhere, but then John set up in a certain area. His tree stand was like, you know, 12, 15 foot high up in the tree. And so we get there. He turns his lights off. He had been giving me the rundown of, you know, the most dangerous part was us getting into the tree stand and out of the tree stand without shooting each other with these, you know, SWAT team rifles. Mm-hmm. So I made sure I paid attention during
that
conversation with John. But get them loaded because they can hear the sound. So you get them cocked and everything, got the safety on. You know, I've got this green light on my head as we're walking through swamp and all this. And he reminds me, hey, be careful where you walk. There's snakes out here. It's pitch black.
Are you tiptoeing in?
Oh, Steph, you know it. I am like trying not to make a peep. I'm like, oh. Okay, now like this just got real. Like he's telling me this
stuff. That is the scariest part, in the middle of the night.
Yes.
Walking through the swamp.
At midnight, you're walking through the swamp, and he's, you know, he's prepping me mentally on the way there. But then once you're there, and you're in the middle of it, like, oh boy, okay, I've got my headphones on. I got this 308 attached to me. I've got a headlight. I am looking all around my feet like there better not be a python around me. Like, I am very
aware.
On edge.
Yeah.
I'm very aware of my surroundings. Uh-huh. And then you're walking through water that you don't know what's in the water.
Wait, how high up is the water?
It's about, what, 6, 8 inches maybe?
Yes.
Is it really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be quiet because these hogs that we're hunting, the scent and the
sound. Yeah.
And the sound.
Okay.
So the light, that's what you, green light you can use. It's they're not going to detect that, but it's the scent and the sound. So you got to be very quiet.
Like, how sensitive are their ears?
I don't think too sensitive.
Okay.
I think it's mostly the smell.
Okay.
But yeah, if we were making loud noises, we probably could have scared them away for the night.
Got it.
Okay, so John gave me this headgear
okay.
with a microphone so we can whisper and hear each other. So, he's got all these toys, right? I'm like, okay, this is fantastic. So, as we're walking, you hear all these bugs around you. You hear birds. I mean, it's like very elevated.
Uh-huh.
And so, we had the plan. John was like, when we get there, we are going to shoot on three. So, it's going to be one, two, bang.
Uh-huh.
We are shooting at the same time.
Okay.
So, John's setup is he's got this tree stand, 15 foot tall.
Wait, how far did you have to walk to get to the tree stand?
I'd say 50 yards.
Oh, so from where your car parked?
Yeah.
So 50 yards and
swamp.
You're high stepping.
Well, I'm
nervous.
Very aware of my. Well, when you're going slow
yeah.
for 50 yards,
mm-hmm.
it feels like 500 yards.
Does it?
In the middle of the night,
yeah.
and you know there's
That's
snakes
true.
There. I don't
yes.
know if there's crocodiles in the swamp. I have no idea.
It just took you like forever, you felt like, to get there.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Very much. I mean, in my headgear, this is all I hear. Like me breathing really hard. Like. Like, I'm trying to be quiet, but like, I mean, I'm in the middle of the swamp here. Out of my surroundings.
He did good. He was brave. He put on his brave face.
Bless okay,
here we go.
Heart,
don't be scared.
You got this, babe. You're so brave. You can do it.
So we get to the tree stand, and then 50 yards away from that, John's got this corn feeder, mm-hmm. and it looks like a water tower. A water tower that's probably, what, 8 foot high?
Yeah,
7 foot high?
Five or six, I think, from the ground.
Okay.
The bottom.
So it's a water tower of corn. So he will put corn in this water tower looking feeder.
Uh-huh.
And then on his phone, he can set it, hey, every night at 11 o'clock, I want to open up and let corn out. And then the animals will come to this feeder, the hogs or whatever, and then you can just mow them down. So that's his setup.
Oh, this is amazing.
He's got a camera on a tree that takes pictures on any... any movement, right?
Yeah.
Any motion. So throughout the day, he's getting all these texts. And I'm like, dude, you've got more pictures of animals on your phone than your own kids. You really do.
It is. It's fun to watch.
Wait, what's the craziest picture you've gotten?
We see turkey. We'll see coyote.
Uh-huh.
We see some big deer sometimes.
Uh-huh.
That's usually about it. No Sasquatch.
No Sasquatch. I was looking for them too out there, Steph.
Right. No swamp people.
So we finally get in the tree stand,
mm-hmm.
and you hear it.
Kay.
You hear it turn on.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, here we go. So then John and I have been whispering back and forth
uh-huh.
in this tree stand, 12, 15 feet up. And I mean, it's tight up there. And we've got the guns on the ledge.
Right.
And periodically, we're just looking through the scope. Do we see anything? So John will be like, hey, you see that armadillo over there? I'm like, yep, I see it. It's like white in the scope.
Okay.
And then 2 minutes later, hey, you see that raccoon over there? Yep, I see it. So then the hogs come.
We're
like, oh, so we're looking through it. And
here
again,
we go.
My heart, like, okay, here we go. And John said, you get one shot, don't you?
Pretty much. They're quick. They're gone once you take one shot.
You take one shot, and then they just disperse.
Uh-huh.
He's like, so we're just going to get one shot. So we have three hogs lined up. And so they're not perpendicular.
Okay.
Like I want like perfect so I can shoot it, both of us.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, John starts talking. I'm like, John, I can't hear you. John. And then John will be like, okay, you get the one on the left, I'll get the one on the right. And then 30 seconds later, they swap positions. And he's like, okay, now I get the one on the left. I'm like, what'd you say? John, I can't hear you. And then you say something like, John, I can't hear what you're saying, dude. Like, he's trying to be so quiet. I can't understand. Like, this is vital information to know. When are we shooting? What are we shooting at? And so we waited 15 minutes, John.
Yeah. I think we overthought it.
I think we did, too. All right. So
they're eating the whole time?
Yeah. They're just hanging out, eating. But they're moving continuously.
Yes.
That's the hard part.
And we want them to move so they're both perpendicular so we can... shoot the whole side of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because we're trying to each get one. We're trying to be a little too greedy. Maybe each.
We should have shot at
one. Yeah.
But we're both shooting at an individual hog.
Okay.
All right. So finally get to the point. Like, he's like, here we go. On three. One, two. And it's bang! Like so freaking loud. And then John shoots again. And we go to look. I can't tell. I'm like, did I hit it? Did I not hit it? And so we get out of the tree stand, we start looking, and we don't see any blood. We start, you know, trying to trail it. We don't see blood anywhere. So apparently we missed.
Uh-huh.
We were up there, and we totally missed.
Oh,
can you talk about
man.
A bummer? Like, I took a shower for this.
I took a shower.
Okay, so say you got one. How big were these hogs?
They were about 80 pounds or so. They're not huge.
Okay.
Not like the Texas hogs that are large boars.
Yeah.
These are small swamp hogs, kind of.
So you, like, grab them by their legs drag and take them back to the truck?
Drag them out and take them to the truck and then take them where you skin them and harvest the meat.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So basically, John was going to throw it over his shoulders and just yeah, walk back to the truck.
That's right.
That's what I was expecting him to do. So, and I would just, yeah, I would just learn. I would just be your sidekick there. So, unfortunately, we didn't get anything that night. So then the next morning, we FaceTimed with the kids and you. And Elle, I mean, the first question was, Daddy, did you shoot anything last night?
Yep.
And I told Elle, yep, we got 8 hogs last night. And Elle
she was
like,
so mad.
She was so mad. Daddy, you promised me you weren't going to shoot anything. Like, I did not promise that, honey. Like, she was really upset.
She loves animals.
Oh, my gosh. So she will be excited to know that we missed that night.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get anything.
If you like what you hear, please tell someone about us. As soon as this episode is over, go tell your spouse, your closest friend, a parent, a coworker, or share one of our posts on social media.
However, if you don't like what you're hearing, please do not.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody.
Just disregard this message.
Don't worry about
forget
it.
Forget about us.
Yep.
Go on with your merry day.
And to get more information about us or our entire catalog of episodes, be sure to check us out at kevinandsteph.com. Thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
Sunday night comes, and John's like, do you want to go out again? Hog hunting. I'm like, heck yes, I do. If you're offering,
yes.
I would love to. But I'm concerned about him, right? You've got to be at work at 7 a.m. the next morning, and your feeder goes off like at 11 o'clock or something. So I didn't want John to be out like super late,
yeah.
Get the sleep he needs. But you said you were fine.
Yeah,
no issues.
We're used to that, yeah.
Yes, with the energy of this guy. So
wait. Did you take a shower before
I had
you left?
To, yes. So he washed the clothes again, the scentless soap, gave me the body wash, went through all of that again, and put all that on. So, again, we go out probably 10:30, I would say, at this time to get there. And so we're on our way there, and I'm just like, John, here we go, brother. Like, I'm giving a pep talk. Like, we got one shot. We have been trained. We've been trained for such a moment as this, John, that we are going to take out these hogs. This is the night. This is how the trip ends. This is it.
Yes.
And I'm like giving this pep talk really to myself.
Yeah.
Right. And Sai's like, hey, don't be scared.
He was fired up.
So I'm like, here we go. So I've got the experience now. I know what we're doing. I know how to get in the
tree stand,
all of that. Here we go. So we get up there, and we're there in plenty of time. And we're sitting there waiting, looking. We see armadillos. We see raccoons. We see everything but a hog.
Everything but hogs is right.
Really?
Yeah, I think we got outsmarted.
So we're sitting there. We sat there for an hour?
It was about an hour.
Oh, no.
Nothing showed up.
No.
Nothing. 0-2.
No, you didn't get anything.
We didn't get anything. I so wanted to take a picture with me and a hog and show you. We didn't get anything. And then John's like, this is one of the few times I've never seen a hog or I've never shot a hog. Like, every time I come out here, I seem to get one. I'm so sorry.
So do you eat the meat then?
Yeah.
Had
John
nachos,
had some nachos.
Carnitos, nachos.
It was fantastic.
Really?
Oh, Steph, it was so good.
So you just take it to like a regular butcher? Like,
no.
Do they have like hog
butchers?
He's
a surgeon.
We do it. We
he
cut it apart,
himself.
Throw it
oh,
on
that's
ice.
True.
Throw it in the crock pot.
Yes, he does himself. He loves it. Like, oh yeah, he's scrape, whatever. I was actually looking forward to seeing him, his scalpel skills.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, that's right up his alley. So yeah, he does himself.
Does someone have to teach you or are you like, I can figure this out?
Yeah, I had a guy show me.
Uh-huh.
And there's plenty of YouTube videos too, but it's not that hard.
Isn't it?
No.
Oh, dang it.
So, 0-2.
I thought for sure you were like beefing it up to let me know.
I know.
You, got one.
You were thinking I was going to tell you we got
a hog. Oh, I thought for sure you had one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just means you'll have to come down again.
Yes. Next trip.
Hey.
Got to let him come down.
Make sure there's a bike for him.
That's right. I'll have the bike ready for you.
Friends, thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Us a Good Story.
For additional content and longer episodes, you can go to our website at kevinandsteph.com or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
And don't forget, you can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. right here on the AM/FM 24/7 network. Thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.